Yep, it's Thursday night. It's Kayak Fishing Radio. I'm Chip Gibson, a tree hugger, and hey, we're here again. So folks are in a chat room. So what's going on here? Lost my cursor there. All right, so y'all refresh and we're live. Cool. What's up to, let's see, we got Hammerhead in there, Greg Chris, Mr. Lozier, Matt Trucks, we're all there, so. Water temps, yeah. They're talking about fishing. Hey, we went fishing last week. We were down in Florida and got into some trout there. We stayed at the a great little resort area called River Palms Cottages. If you haven't checked them out, you should. They're right there in Jensen Beach, Florida. Awesome time. So we spent a couple of days. We got a chance to go up on Friday. I know, right? It's a pretty big crowd. What's up, Andy? And we got to... is it still messing up? Right? Can you hear me? Hello? 5x5. All right. Cool. Yeah, we got to go down to the note. Still playing there. we got to check out the no motor zone. Me and the clone went out and fished for a couple hours there, caught up with Chuck and them, and I think we're going to have a great boondoggle there. A lot of fish. We didn't break the code in the couple hours we were out, but got to see a bunch of fish. Got to see the shoal area out there. There's a nice trench. Looks like it'd be really hot for picking up some big fish. And we just got to hope for kind of a mild winter. The facilities there at Cars Park are outstanding. And we've got great setups there for camping. The pavilion area is really set up nice. Got a little stage and all. Huge kegerator cooler out there with like 6 or 7 taps all set up on it. You guys might have seen the pictures that Chuck posted a little while back, but it was pretty cool. So I'm looking forward to it. I think the boondoggle is going to be another awesome time with some great kayak fishermen, and we're looking forward to it. So. But the no motor zone is neat. I think we, the site where we'll be, we've got a little bit of, what? I'm totally lost at what you're saying there, Lozier. But, we've got, a nice setup for where everyone can stay and camp there. If you're going to do some camping. Let me say hi to, looks like maybe. Hello.
Gangnam Style.
Gangnam Style, man. I tried to upload a new button, and it failed on me. I'm looking at the little thing up top on the thing. It says conversion failed, so I was going to play it for you.
Dang.
Dang, I know, right? So... let me see if I could get it up on the other one and put my headphones up to it. So, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm good, brother. I'm good.
Yeah, I was just kind of talking about our little visit there, our short but sweet visit to the No Motor Zone last Friday when the clone and I were able to meet up with you guys.
Yeah.
You guys caught a few fish, though.
Yeah, we did good. We had a large group of guys starting with us in the morning. I think we started off with almost nine other kayakers.
Uh-huh.
And that group slowly but surely whittled down over the course of the afternoon, but everyone that was with us caught fish. So it's good. Productive, man. I mean, and they were nice fish. I think all but just a few of the redfish were slots. Some of them were dinks, but just a couple. Some really nice trout were caught. It was fun. It's always a good time.
And, yeah, so I'm stoked about maybe the next time getting out to the little shoal area out there and maybe soaking some bait out there. I think there might be some big bruisers cruising that thing.
Yeah, that is that's definitely where they like to hang out. So I think a lot of folks are going to be doing some of that come the boondoggle.
Andy was Andy Bukowski in the chat room asked, "What's a slot in Florida?" It's 18 to 27, right?
Yeah, 18 to 27, and you're allowed one fish per person.
Right. And okay, I'll do a Grinch button. So Chris wants me to make a Grinch button. So, but let's see if we can do this, man. Hang on.
Standing by.
Get up. Can you hear that?
Yeah, I can hear it.
There it is.
Whoa. Not good.
Oh, man. That was like
sounds like alien.
Couldn't even understand it.
Well, I can't understand it anyway. I mean.
That was Chuck going Gangnam Style, so.
I actually went back and watched on YouTube.
Did you?
Yeah, I watched that guy's video with English subtitles, and I'm glad he sings it in Korean or whatever it is, because it wouldn't sound right in English. The words just, I don't think you could sing them and make them sound, I don't know, rhymable maybe, I don't know.
I know, it wouldn't work.
I do know one thing.
What's that?
I have perfected the dance.
You've got the pony down?
Oh, dude, listen, the pony move has been old school throwback Chuck since, like, junior high school. His other little leg kicking and stuff like that, yeah, it's on, brother. I'm telling you. You guys just wait. I'll be like Michael Flatley up in this place.
There you go. All right. I think we're going to have a good time there at Cars. Have you gone out and used your little card, man?
Not yet, but I will tomorrow.
Dude, I'm going to have to revoke your card if you don't use it.
Listen. I think I finally found the Levi tent.
Oh.
Yeah, this thing is pretty legit, man. I'm getting rid of some of my favorite fishing items to be able to pay for this tent.
For the hooch,
but,
huh?
It's pretty cool, man. It's got a ceiling fan.
Oh,
and a light.
Awesome, dude.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's got hinge doors on it and everything. I'm like, this thing is awesome.
As long as it's got mosquito netting, because the bugs there were... My wife said that they walked around, and she said, I think I got some chiggers or something.
Probably no-see-ums.
Yeah, the no-see-ums. She had little red dots all over her.
Yeah, so that would be the no-see-ums. Yeah, it's got some mosquito netting and stuff, I guess. I mean, built
that'd
into
be cool.
It. But, yeah, pretty neat until we can afford to get a sweet toy hauler like what you're working with. But
well, I haven't heard from the guy. I've been sending him some emails, man, so I'm hoping that we can get it done before February. Right now, we're like looking like the weekend before the boondoggle, I'm going to have to drive up to Indiana to pick it up and tow it back down, and then hopefully get everything put in it before the boondoggle weekend. So,
so you need me to go up there and enforce a few, family rules, you know what I'm saying? I can go up there and take care of business.
Take care of some business, yeah. Nah, we'll, if it's not ready, then we plan on, doing one of the, there's an RV rental place here, so we'll just get a big RV and tow everything down behind it. So, but we're gonna be there and be square. So yeah, and I think the setup looks great there, man. I mean, it's it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, no, it's definitely really cool, man. I know you were kind of in a rush to get out of there, but you know, I took another walk around and kind of looked at everything, and I know there's a lot of people that are gunning for those waterfront spots. There's not very many of them that are going to be available.
Right.
So once those are gone, you know, hopefully we can get the majority of the people to kind of stay over in the.
I want to be like next to the kegerator.
Yeah. Well, where do you think I'm going to be parked? I don't know that I'm too worried about getting a waterfront spot. I mean, there's going to be plenty of people who will have waterfront spots, and we can go commandeer their docks and whatnot.
That's right.
And
a beer front, you know, spot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Two steps from the front swinging door.
There you go.
That's the best way to have it. No, it's right. It's going to be cool, and we're going to have a great time. I know there's a bunch of folks that are going to be staying up there at the KOA in 46, and that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, they could give those folks a little bit different venue maybe to fish to if they want to switch things up, you know, go up fish the lagoon or whatever.
Well, we're gonna stay a couple extra days, so I think, you know, we're planning on hitting the lagoon and depending upon the weather and stuff, maybe go to the port, you know, maybe try for some snappers and you know, it's gonna be fish on.
Oh yeah, I've let everybody in my family know that don't expect me to be anywhere near you folks for separate deaths, of course, for at least a solid week. So. Looking forward to it, man. I really am. You know, all the hard work and long hours on the phone and dealing with all this stuff is starting to show its rewards, if you will.
Cool.
Definitely not getting tired of this side of it in any stretch of the imagination. It's actually really fun to try and organize this thing. But what's really cool is the number of media outlets that are so excited about wanting to help us out, man. I mean, I told you today on the phone, we got Gaff Magazine wants to do a 3-4 page spread on it.
That's cool.
Yeah, I know. Florida Sportsman's going to have something in their magazine about it as well, probably in the January magazine. And then I believe Coastal Angler Magazine, our local Coastal Angler Magazine, wants to do something too. And we may or may not have the Orlando Sentinel coming over to do something as well. So. We'll see.
Cool. And I was talking to Bob Bramlett. I don't know. I don't see him in there, but yeah, I was talking to him earlier today, and he didn't know about it, but their crew down there, the Southwest Florida Kayak Group, that's their monthly trip, so they're all coming up to Cars for the weekend.
Cool. He didn't know about the Boondoggle?
Well, he knew about the Boondoggle, but the kayak, the SWFKA
group is coming up.
Yeah,
they do
like a monthly trip, and his schedule is he's on the night schedule or something right now. But he said, you know, he just found out they're like all planning on coming up for February to Cars. So, well, they were going up, and they were wondering where to stay, and then he's like, well, everybody's staying at Cars, and they're like, okay, yeah, cool. So.
Yeah, it's kind of unprecedented that they're letting us do this. I mean, it's definitely, I mean, we got to make sure that everyone minds their P's and Q's as well as possible. I mean, I don't know what the other campers will think about me dancing up and down the streets late at night doing the Gangnam style, but,
with your big boom box.
Yeah, big, huge boom box on my shoulder. I don't know. You know, we'll play it by ear. Maybe we'll invite them over for drinks or something and get them drunk. And this way here, they don't realize that we're being loud. I don't know. But
well, the place was packed last Friday. Of course, it was a holiday, you know, and everything. So, but, I mean, there were a lot of people out there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, you know what's funny about Cars Park is it looked like there's a lot of people out there. In reality,
it was just all the people lined up on the water, right?
That's it. That's it. Because if you look back over to the right, back behind that first row of campers, you have all that empty space clear back to the wood line, and that's all campsites.
Oh, yeah.
And if need be, I was told if need be, there's a overflow that we can use as well, and I don't think we're going to need to do that, but... You know, depending upon how many individuals come and, you know, how many groups of 5 or 10 are in individual tents, you know what I'm saying? I mean, we can have like Tent City out there or whatever, but no, it'll be fun, man. It'll be fun to say the least, you know. And what's funny about it too is the fact that it's turned into Friday, Saturday, Sunday into Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday for some. So, you know, and then for you, it'll be, you know, whatever, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, whatever, you know, you guys stay. I know Stan and Holly are coming in a couple of days early as well because they're going to end up fishing with Captain Alex, who they won that charter with up in Virginia Beach. So, should be good.
So, yeah, it should be good, man. So, Chris said the Virginia crew is going to be the speed bump. Chris said the Virginia crew is coming down. I think they're going to stay in the cabins there at KOA. That's cool. That'll give them, they'll be kind of like in between the goon and car. So that'll be cool.
Yeah. And if they need any information, you know, Mark, you know that you and Chris, you guys can call me anytime you know, ask me what to do up there in the lagoon. Cause the lagoon's a completely different animal than in a motor zone. So,
yeah. And I don't even know if I could, I know where Hollover and I know Beacon 42, but I'm not quite sure if I could find the biolab again. That was kind of like the Baja 500 chasing your ass down that dirt road that day. The clone got a big kick out of it.
It's even worse now, man.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's even worse now. There's some serious potholes along that road now, and you can't really avoid them. Like before, you can kind of swing around them or whatever, but now they're some of them are so big that if you go swing around them, you end up in a ditch, and there's some big lizards that live in those ditches. So, but yeah, no, the fishing up there will be great, man. January and February are my two favorite months to fish the lagoon. And January and February coincidentally are two of the best months to fish the no motor zone for the big uglies and for just big redfish and slot fish as well. So,
yeah.
But it's going to be awesome. Real quick, if you don't mind, I wanted to throw out another sponsor that we just got that just came on board. To give away some prizes. These are kind of more or less man prizes, I'll call them. But our buddy there in the chat room, Hammerhead, Greg Chris, for those of you that don't know Greg, he's just a freaking awesome guy, man. He talked with the fine folks over at Milwaukee Tools. And for any guys who are in the need or in the market for some new tools, Milwaukee Tools will be giving away a tool kit and maybe a bunch of more stuff as well. And as far as what a tool kit is, I'm not real sure what all would be in that. But maybe like some saws or maybe drills or something like that. But pretty cool. So thank you very much, Milwaukee Tools. Changing it up a little bit.
That's cool, man. So I was just typing here. I'm having a hard time multitasking. Hammerhead said cordless drill and saw. That's cool.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
Yeah. But she was just saying she's looking to do some tourist things and we're actually, one of the reasons we're staying extra longer is to do the NASA tour and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And, cause, the clone hasn't done that yet. So that'd be cool. And then, if folks are inclined to it, if they've got extra time, I mean, heck, it's not that far to, you know, Disney World and all of that stuff, man. It's just right around the corner.
Yeah, that's the beauty of Central Florida, especially over here on the coast, is we're about, I'd say, from Cars Park, you're about 35, 40 minutes-ish to SeaWorld.
Yeah.
And you're probably about 45 minutes to an hour from Disney.
I was surprised. When we left Cars, we had to go over to Kissimmee to pick up a package that my aunt had for my sister. And we just jumped on. We headed out, 40 there or something, 528, cut right across. I mean, we were there in like 40 minutes.
Yeah, it's I was gonna say it. Yeah, it's not bad, man. And the other thing too, like there's the, you know, we got Gatorland and all that kind of thing over here too. We got the brand, oh, for kids, man, the brand new Legoland just opened up a couple years back, about 2 years back. So that's
right.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Legoland, and then you know, obviously you don't want to do any water parks in February, but you know, there's plenty of stuff to do. Plenty of stuff
yeah.
to do. That NASA tour is really, really neat. I mean, I still enjoy it, man. I used to do it, go to that all the time as a school kid. That was like one of our yearly field trips, but no, it's still really neat. You'll see a lot of stuff out there for sure.
Yeah. All right, so that was a boondoggle. Let me do the boondoggle thing here. Where is it? Where's Ricky Bobby? I'm going to get the Gangnam Style one here in a minute.
Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Come out President's Day weekend to Cars Park in Titusville, Florida for family fun, great fishing in the no motor zone, and hang out with a bunch of crazy kayakers.
We're going streaking! Yeah!
Put your clothes back on, Chuck. For more information, please visit yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
There we go. All right. So what I wanted to talk about tonight, because I found that I had a handful of Tommy Head jigs, and I like you were talking about them on your show Monday night, and Tommy's in the chat room there. You had him on there with you. There's say hi to say hi to Mike Ortego. He's in there, Cat Mike Ortego with Tackle Webs. Great product. I need to get one from the back of my seat in my native.
Sorry, that reminds me about something. Mike is working on a promotion kind of thing for the Boondoggle.
Yeah.
Where it would be kind of like a game, if you will.
Oh.
And if you have a Tackle Webs on your kayak, then you are entered into the game. And
you're entered in the game.
Theory
oh, man.
Thus far. So
okay.
I just so happen to know a great local retailer that happens to sell two different size Tackle Webs bags.
Oh, really?
If anybody's in need of them. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So if you guys haven't listened to the show, you could download iHeartRadio app on your app of choice there if you want. Or you could go to Fishing Florida Radio on Saturday morning, 6 to 9. Cat Mike Ortego, Steve Chapman, Boudreaux, The Bunch. What a bunch. It's a great bunch of guys. Listen to them on Saturday mornings while you're having your coffee. So check them out. You get to meet them at the Boondoggle. And Tackle Webs Bounty. All right. So also, hi to Andy. Pops in the chat room, Greg Crisp, Hammerhead, the Loziers are there, and Matt Trucks, Yacht Chum, and Tommy Head, Jigs. Tommy's in the chat room. So here's what I want to ask, okay? So I was looking at the jigs, and I pulled out my little pocket scale, and I weighed it. Okay, so I got like a quarter-ounce jig head, Tommy Head jig, right? And then I've got some other ones, some little like Arky styles. I think I got them from you. There were a handful of these little red sparkle like things. You know, they're little flat type heads with a spike on them. Now those got some short hooks on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tommy's are those nice mustads, the big long ones, right?
Right.
And so I was just wondering, you know, to break into a little discussion tonight on, how do you know what size jig head to use, you know? I mean, sometimes I just put a worm hook on, you know, put the bait on there, and, you know, even just a DOA shrimp, you know, just tie that on and toss it out there, right?
Right.
So how do you know? What gives you the call to say, I want to put a jig head on here, and then if you're going to use a jig head, what size? Because, and this is, you know, my wife, she's like, she was out there with us this past week, you know, and she's like, so which one do I use? So what do you say? How do you make the decisions?
Well, for me, I throw jig heads probably 95% of the time.
Okay.
And that my reasoning behind it is I have missed way too many subtle bites on a weedless hook to risk doing it any longer. I will only go to a weedless hook nowadays if I absolutely have to. If there's just way too much floating grass, if the grass itself is just way too thick, if the fish are tailing their butts off and, you know, I can't get a jig down to their noses because the grass is so thick, then I'll use a jig head in that instance for the grass being too thick. But on the surface, you know, it can be a problem, especially this time of year, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
Weight for me is never a factor. It's either an eighth or a sixteenth, and that's all I'll throw.
Right.
I don't have to use anything bigger than that because our fish down here are really, really skittish and really, really spooky. And so when you come upon a group of fish that are moving, or even if they're just sitting still, and you hurl a quarter-ounce jig at them and it hits the water, and it doesn't make the same plopping noise as, say, a mullet or, you know, a needlefish that just came out of the water, then you have you run a strong chance of spooking those fish. For me, again, an 1/8 ounce and a 1/16 ounce. 1/16 ounce is my primary go-to weight. It's so lightweight that when you feather it on the cast, it drops and it almost doesn't even make a splash, hardly at all.
Uh-huh.
And throwing light braided line, it doesn't affect your casting distance whatsoever. I mean, I could still hurl a 1/16 ounce jig with a little Slayer SST on it, you know, a mile. But yeah, I've always felt that I get a much better hookup and hook set with a jig head than I ever have with a weedless hook.
Right.
Well, my plastics, that is. But on the flip side of that, I'll even use, I mean, I know guys up north do it too, but I'll even use just a straight jig head with live bait when I'm targeting specific species like flounder or triple tail, because it just doubles as my weight slash hook. You know, I don't have to worry about extra terminal bouncing along the bottom or dropping along an anchor chain. I can just, you know, run that and be done with it. But in those two instances, I will go a little bit heavier. But for the most part, in the shallow waters that most of us fish down here, it's always the light stuff.
Okay. Sometimes I like, if I'm going for flounder, I like to use a 1/4 ounce to make, because I have a real bad time trying to keep my bait on the bottom. I'm just a little too eager, you know, in the retrieve. So I like a 1/4 ounce, or like use the big DOA shrimp, the heavy 1/4 ounce, to get it back down on the bottom, you know, so that I know that it's tapping the bottom. But I'm totally agreeing that the you know, eighth. I don't know if I've thrown any 1/16ths, because I mean, heck, you know, a hook isn't much heavier than that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's just more or less for just enough weight to give you a little bit more casting distance than you would if you just threw the soft plastic with just, let's just say, a circle hook in it, which I will do when the fish are tailing their butts off, but they're in grass. I mean, they're in real thin grass, or they're,
uh-huh,
you know, moving from pothole to pothole. I won't even use a jig head. Sometimes I'll just use a small, little, tiny split shot, like almost like a brim-sized split shot, you know?
Right.
But when it comes to jigs for me, too, like for flounder fishing, depending upon where I'm doing my flounder fishing, if it's in the lagoon, I can get away with my normal redfish-type rig with the 1/16 ounce or 1/8 ounce. But if I'm doing it in Port Canaveral, where I'm fishing anywhere from 10 to 35 foot of water, then, you know, I'll adjust accordingly. The heaviest I'll go out there, though, is a 1/2 ounce.
Right.
Because there's really no current to speak of coming and going out of Port Canaveral until the cruise ships go by, or until,
yeah,
you know, passenger vessels go by, and then you get some water movement. But, you know, for that, it's pretty much – and then also, too, the triple tail off our beaches and out of Port Canaveral, you don't want to use too heavy of a jig because you don't want to, send the bait flying past the fish's head, you know.
Yeah.
Because they tend to kind of hang on the chain, so – But, you know, there's ways to combat that, too. And some of these tips and tricks we use down here for triple tail may work for stripers up north. I mean, we'll take full-size pogies or bunker, whatever you guys call them, and we'll trim the tails off them. And we'll take a quarter-ounce jig and we'll run the hook through where his tail used to be.
Right.
And drop him down the chain. And that little pogie is swimming his little butt off to try and stay up as he's trying to fall with the weight of the jig, you know, so he kind of hangs in the strike zone, if you will, a little bit longer. But that's a cool way to do it, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me say hi to 727 here. Hey, you're on the air.
Yo, it's Rob.
Hi, Rob. How are you, man?
Good. I just figured I'd check in with you. Tomorrow's the big day, moving, so I was
moving
just
tomorrow?
Just checking in real quick before the big move, you know.
In case, like, you lose your computer or something during the move and we don't hear from you?
No, nothing like that.
All right.
Believe it or not, the cable guy's coming tomorrow.
All right.
Yeah.
You have cable?
For internet and stuff, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'll be having some cable there soon.
It's
horrible.
I know, right? Cable guy. I just didn't see. I don't see Rob D as, you know, a guy sitting there in front of the one-eyed monster, you know, flipping through the channels and stuff.
Well, actually, I used to do that.
Right.
And I used to just, you know, scroll through channels and eat, you know. And I said, you know, I can do something else besides sit here and watch TV. You know, I wasn't even watching. I was just scrolling through channels all night.
So right.
I just got rid of the cable and that was it, man.
Keep the internet, huh?
The rest is history. I got a Mac and a couple of GoPros and
now
you're
going nuts. Now you sit in front of the Mac all the time looking at little snippets of video clips, right?
Yeah, and then I forget to eat.
Oh, we haven't got it out yet, but in the next week we should be launching the Kayak Fishing Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Shut up.
Along with HTML5 so that if you have a Windows phone, you can use it too. So.
Very nice. That's cool.
Yeah.
So what are you going to be able to do with this app, Chip?
Well, it's going to have – I've worked on that streaming channel. So we'll have a streaming channel that'll be on, you know, during the daylight hours or whatever. I'm still working on the software, but we'll be streaming. You'll be able to stream for the shows. So all the live shows will stream to the app. We'll have some podcasts that'll come back and, you know, you'll be able to hear that. You can also go to the podcast. You can click on the podcast and the app, and it'll take you to all the podcasts. There's also kind of a little wall there that you can post stuff to, you know, kind of a Twitter type thing. And then hopefully we'll have, you know, folks that'll, you know, sign up with it. And then we'll have kind of the Kayak Fishing Radio, nation thing there, you know, so, and we can also send out messages to folks with the app. So, you know, you get the little banner thing that pops up on your phone and says, hey, we're getting ready to go live, or we're doing a fishing report right now or something like that. So with the streaming thing, I think it'll be cool because we'll be able to, you know, like do fishing reports and stuff like that for the weekends or something like that. I'm hoping on trying to be able to do something where folks can call in to the Skype number and record a message or something, and that'll play up and that kind of thing. Or we'll give Brad some time there from Sunjammer so he can have a little time in the morning to say hi to people and stuff like that. So, but the app, it should be out in about a week. The app should be up and approved in about a week. I don't know how it goes out through the Android thing, but it should be in the,
That sounds awesome. Now, is the app, is it like when you see it on your phone, you know, is it going to be like a cartoon version of Chuck, like doing the Gangnam style, you know, in his kayak or something.
Yeah, yeah. No, no, it'll just be the little square, you know, the little Kayak Fishing Radio logo, and you'll just punch that and it'll pop up and have the little buttons on there and stuff. But yeah, no, Chuck's going to we're going to hold off on the Gangnam style for Chuck until we get to the Boondoggle, and he's going to lay it out for everybody. So.
Yep. We'll lay it out.
Hey, you know, that'll come in handy because we can it'll be easier to help coordinate with people and stuff at the Boondoggle. You know,
right.
You just go to the Kayak Fishing Radio app and it can kind of double as a Boondoggle app.
Well, we have the little calendar function that we could put on it. There's a bunch of little things that we can do. So when Brad wants to give out a coupon or something like that for Sunjammers, you know, we can flash a little coupon up there for folks, you know, that kind of thing. So, but yeah, it should got a great deal. It was a Black Friday deal, you know, through the app guy, and he gave me a 50% off for the lifetime of the app. So we got half of the monthly cost to run the app. So with free updates and all that kind of cool stuff. So here we go. 678. You're on the air with Kayak Fishing Radio. Good evening.
Hey, Chip. This is Jim. How's it going, man?
All right, Jim. How are you tonight?
Oh, man. Got no complaints. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How did it go over in Pensacola there?
Oh, it was great. We went through Tallahassee, picked up the RV, went over to St. George Island, caught some redfish, caught some dink trout, and then my wife caught a real nice flounder, probably 18 inches.
Sweet.
And he went to the grill. We grilled him. And then we went over to Port St. Joe and fished hard, didn't catch squat out in the bay, and then came back in a little slough, dark bottom slough, and caught about four trout, and then we caught three little ditch tarpon.
Yeah?
And I caught one of the tarpon on a 7-weight that my wife gave me for Christmas year before last. And
where did you catch the tarpon at?
Believe it or not, it was on what is Cape Sandblast. They call it Port St. Joe Peninsula State Park. And it's Cape Sandblast. And I've heard rumors of guys going down, you know, west of Apalachicola catching tarpon in the summer.
Right.
But it was just a little finger off the bay with a dark bottom. It wasn't but 30 feet wide and, you know, 100 feet long. You could, you know, throw a cast across it, no problem. And there was some little ditch tarpon in there, about 12 to 14 inches, swimming around, and some sea trout. Yeah, I never thought we'd catch one that far north this late in the year.
Yeah, it is pretty late. I mean, I've seen tarpon in the past there at Pensacola and stuff, and, you know, guys chance hooking one, but nobody ever really fishes for them. But that's cool, man. That's really cool that you got into some little tarpon.
Yeah, it was.
And on the fly, too, right?
Yeah, yeah. My wife looked at me. She caught a little trout and then caught a tarpon on a jig with a gulp shrimp. And then she goes, "You got a fly rod?" I'm like, "Of course." She goes, "What's your fly rod?" So I got the fly rod and a little natural grizz seducer, a little one, and probably like a number six. And,
yeah.
Threw it out there and hooked and landed two, and probably had another four or five take, but then weren't big enough to take the fly. It was a decent sized fly for, you know, fish that small.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah, it was good. Good time, man.
I'm gonna have to. I don't think I've got you. Are you on Facebook?
Yeah, man.
I'm gonna have to get you friended up so I can see some pictures and stuff, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
So. Well, we were just chatting about jigs and hook sizes and stuff like that. We got Tommy in the chat room and I had just announced too that in another week we should have an app out for Kayak Fishing Radio for the iPhone and for Android phones and also the Windows stuff. But we were looking at I think where's the discussion here? Somebody asks Tommy's like we were just saying, what size jig do you like to use? And Chuck was saying he uses like 16th of an ounce. Tommy likes a happy medium of like a 3/16. And then somebody said, too, Tommy had the question that saltwater fishermen enjoy the wide gap hooks over short gap, and then bass fishermen tend to like straight hooks over EWG. So I don't know. I like the wide gaps, you know, like the worm hooks, because I like to rig up my baits weedless. So, you know, just hide that hook in the top of, on the back side of the soft bait. So, but anyways,
I'll tell you, I kind of use a little bit of everything. I'm like, in real shallow water, grassy water, I might go with a wide gap 1/16-1/8 down the Georgia coast, say Savannah down through Brunswick, Jacksonville, where there's a lot more tide. I'm usually using a 1/4 ounce at a minimum, and sometimes an 1/8, not very often, like a 2/0.
Right.
And fresh water, you know, up here in North Georgia, fresh water like Lake Lanier, you know, throwing the little 6-inch watermelon worms that you can catch everything on.
Right.
I'm back down to, you know, 1/8 ounce, 1/4 ounce, but like a number 1 out or number 2.
Right.
Something a little bit smaller. Leave the hook exposed, throwing them pitching around the docks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, it, you know, it really depends on where I'm at, what I'm doing. But anywhere from about a 1/16 up to 1/4, sometimes a 1/2, you know, depends on where I'm at.
Right.
So.
And, you know, I was going to ask Chuck, you still there?
Yo.
Yeah. So, you know how they, what are they, Texas rig with the worm? You put the little sliding bullet weight in front of the worm?
Yeah. Yeah.
You ever rig up like that for fishing for reds and stuff?
No, not for redfish or flounder, I do. I do have quite a few of my friends that will do either a Texas rig, Carolina rig, or even a drop shot rig. For the redfish when they come off the edge of the flats. And I know they add a lot of beads to their rigs so that makes that bullet weight makes a lot of clacking noise when it hits the bottom.
You know what I put a bead on there for? If I'm going to put a slider, to protect the knot.
yeah, a lot of folks do that too. But I have witnessed guys throwing that rig with extra beads and just slay reds and black drum, believe it or not. I think it has a lot to do with that clacking noise, but, you know.
Well, we were down there in Jensen Beach, and the wind is just howling. Is it still windy down there, man?
Yes, sir. It's blowing.
Well, it laid down like Friday afternoon when we got off the water. It seemed like the wind had just laid down. But it was just howling. We managed to find a little cove. We fished with Gene. And so later that evening, we went out to the dock there at River Palms. And I said, you know what? I got to get Pop and the wife on a fish, right? So I rigged up my my bait runners, and I just put like a little 1/2 ounce. I just set up a little grouper rig, you know, about a 2-foot leader with the 1/2 ounce weight above the knot and chunk of pogey on there and toss it out and let them soak bait. And I like that rig because, you know, then your bait kind of moves naturally in the current kind of thing, but the weight keeps it down there kind of in one spot. You just use enough weight to keep it in one spot, but still lets your bait kind of flop around. And man, we're catching bluefish and little catfish and that kind of thing, but it was a lot of fun. But I had just wondered, you know, because I had a section in my tackle box with all those little bass bullet weights, you know, and I thought, man, I wonder if you ever rigged those things up like that. So, but, and, yeah, I know that I didn't have the right size hook for. I was trying to use a hoagie bait, you know, like a bubblegum hoagie bait because you guys were doing the darts and stuff, but I didn't have a big enough hook for that, man. You know, it just seems silly to put, I had a 5-aught hook in the front of that hoagie bait, and there was like 8 inches of bait behind the hook.
Yeah, you gotta let the fish gobble it up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I need like an 11-aught worm hook for this thing. So, but
I actually, for hoagie baits, then you can feel free to use this little concept. I just tie two hooks in line like you would for a drive-by snapper rig.
Yeah.
And just run two hooks in the bait, run one hook a little bit further back and one up towards the nose, and it works well. I mean, I've never really, I couldn't tell you that I missed a bunch of fish not having it, but I know that I sure as heck have hooked a lot of fish having it that way. So,
well, when I was sitting there playing with it, I thought, you know, why I could just tie up a, you know, kind of like a kingfish rig, you know, with the trailer.
Like a little stinger.
Yeah, with a stinger hook on the end of it and just stick one end of the treble hook in the tail end of that hoagie bait and toss it out there like that, you know. But,
Yeah,
I just couldn't figure out how to fish big, giant snake bait. So, it was like, I have these little bitty hooks, man, and they're not working. But, and speaking of jigs, did you see the jigs and the stinking, the gulp baits that Kevin was using?
It's like I didn't.
Like a 3-ounce jig head with a 6-inch curly tail gulp bait.
Yeah. We use a
broomstick to cast that. They just drop them straight down and jig them.
Yeah, we use some big jigs over here. I mean, I've used jig heads that are 16 ounces, 18 ounces, 20 ounces.
Yeah.
Just the biggest jig head you've ever seen in your life. But, I mean, obviously that's not for catching anything inshore, but... and most of those are ordered out of California because that's all those guys do.
Yeah. So is there some place around the port there that you know where there's some Goliath grouper hanging around?
The port is loaded with Goliath grouper. I don't know that anybody really wants to try and mess with them, but if you do, feel free.
I think we should get... Captain Mike Ortego in a kayak, take him out there and let him show us how it's done.
Mike used to fish out of a kayak. Yeah, Mike used to fish out of a kayak back in the day, which was a Wednesday. Now he's all highfalutin.
It was a Wednesday.
Yeah, now he's all highfalutin. He's in a flat boat. But I'm hoping that my phone rings one of these cold mornings so we can go out there and slay some specks.
Yeah.
But, there's some Goliaths that hang out in the port. You won't really find them inshore at all, for the most part, until you're back up towards the lagoon and up towards Oak Hill.
Yeah.
There's a good tide flow up there in Oak Hill, and they'll get in and around the mangroves and the oyster bars from time to time, little ones. But there's some giants that live in the port, man. I mean, big ones.
You haven't really felt the power of a fish until you tangle with a Goliath grouper.
Yeah, this is true.
Back in my day, we called them Jewfish. They were just monsters, man. And I mean, you would use like a 12-inch wide stingray for bait. They
love
them.
Yeah, it's funny because there's guys that target them down out of Sebastian Inlet, at the inlet on the jetty. They'll take like a 6-0 Penn Sender or like a 450 Daiwa or 600 Daiwa Sea Line, rigged nothing with a 100-pound Power Pro or 100-pound Dacron, and like a 150-pound monofilament. They'll crimp on.
Yeah.
And they'll drop a whole like 4 or 5 pound Jack Crevel.
Yeah.
Straight down. And they can usually get one or two turns on them, I think, before the Goliath realizes what's going on, and then it's either game over or they come up to the surface and make a mad dash for the bottom again, and it's over with. But
yeah,
all of the buoys out of Port Canaveral have them on them, every single one of them, and they're giants. I mean, there's not a fish. I don't think there's a fish on any of those cans that's under 80 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, my buddies dive quite a bit, and they have the GoPros and stuff, and they've taken plenty of video of what lurks beneath the buoys out of Port Canaveral, and it's just solid wads of big, giant Goliath groupers. I mean, I've had Goliath groupers come off the bottom out there and eat my triple tail. Yeah.
You gotta take a gun and just shoot them.
Oh, dude, it's like the most frustrating thing in the whole entire world. You got this delicious, like, 15, 20-pound triple tail on, Yeah. And up comes the bottom, and it eats your triple tail like a Snickers bar. You're just like, ugh. But, no, yeah, I mean, I think
you
guys want to go out.
You can noodle those things, too.
Yeah, you can noodle those things. I think that you were the Marine, man, not me. I think that if guys want to really go out there and kind of get crazy with it in February, you can probably find some lurking around the port.
Yeah.
You definitely probably more than likely find some flounder, mangrove snappers, and that kind of thing. And the jig heads, back to that conversation, the jig heads will work very well in Port Canaveral.
Right. Okay, cool. All right, well, we kind of got it. Let's see. Tommy has a trick. He used a quarter ounce weight. He likes the Tommy head jig quarter ounce bottom weight for drop shot and use a drop shot hook 12 to 18 inches up the leader. That's a good idea. Marines blow stuff up. We just make chum out of that fish. I'd just like to see Kevin hook into one of those big son of a guns and watch him mess with that, you know?
Yeah. I don't know how you'd get that thing up with a kayak. I mean,
you wouldn't. It'd be like sword fishing out of a kayak. I think that you'd pretty much just sign off all of your tackle and property to me before you leave the port.
I think we should set it up.
We should promote it. You know, Kayak Kevin versus the Goliath grouper and see if we can get him to come down and just get him out there and try it.
Listen, you know that crazy bastard will come down here and try it. I mean, there ain't no doubt about it. The guy is, I mean, he's a lunatic when it comes to catching fish, for sure. The guy's the man, but I wouldn't, Kevin.
That would make a great video, man. That's the next Kayak Kevin video, man. Kayak Kevin versus, you know, it's kind of like the, what would we call it? The WWE of fishing, man. Kevin versus the Goliath.
If you don't know what that is, turn on World Fishing Network right now and Fishing the Flats. He's out there battling those with some big old broomstick sized carrot sticks
from a boat.
Yeah.
Well, that's different. You know, you can use the motor and stuff, but
that was the key when we did it.
Why you get a big one like that in a kayak?
When we did it in the boat, you got to get, in there, as soon as you hook up, the guy's got to be on the boat, you know, driving you away from the rig to get you out of the, keep that thing out of there. So
I think Kevin would end up looking like one of those buoys from Jaws being drugged through the water, you know, before it sinks beneath the surface. It's not a good idea. Kevin, if you're listening to the podcast, you are the man. I give you full credit for that, but don't listen to Chip. I think Chip's been drinking tonight.
No. Drinking my tea. All right. Yeah. Well, it's been fun. We've got what's going on this weekend, man? What do we got going around this weekend? Anybody got going on? Brad in the chat room, you got a sale going on this weekend? Continuing the Black Friday sale. I see that he's had some really cool deals going on there. But Rob, you're moving tomorrow, right?
Yeah, you know, there's a slim chance I might be able to get out Sunday, but don't know yet.
All right. Is the wind howling over there, too?
It's not terrible, no. It's about 10 to 15, maybe.
Yeah. It was howling right down the Dagum River while we were there. So.
Of course. I was surprised that I found out that you were in Florida because it wasn't raining.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It was pretty lucky, really. Okay, Sunjammer's got a huge sale, 25% off a major kayak brand. He just can't say which one. So you have to check it out, sunjammers.com. Ask for Brad. Chuck, are you hitting the water this weekend? You gonna?
Yes, sir. I'm going tomorrow, in fact, tomorrow morning. Wind's going to be blowing out of the northeast. East-northeast, I guess, about 15, maybe pushing to 20, but we're going to battle our way across the Mosquito Lagoon and go play in and around the islands and see if we can't find some black drum and some redfish. And then Saturday, I have the distinct pleasure of taking one Mr. Marty, who is from
Jackson Kayaks. He is the, I guess, the sales director, the national sales director at Jackson Kayaks. He's coming into town for the kayak canoe convention thing going on at the Daytona Beach next week. And so I'm going to take him fishing. And what else is going down? I think Sunday we have, I think we're fishing Sunday. If anyone is listening and you're from the Central Florida area, however, tomorrow, Saturday being December the 1st, downtown Titusville, Food Truck Wars. There'll be 40 food trucks from all around the state. These are the best of the best of food trucks that are coming into town to do a big cook-off thing. Feel free to stop by Kayaks by Bo, which is located right there near this event. And, that's pretty much it. Oh, also, I'm going to go make peace with the Orlando Kayak Fishing Club on Tuesday.
I saw that, man. It'd be nice.
Yeah, I got Mike Ortigo is going to be there. He's going to be my backup guy in case this is all a hit. You know, they sent me a message and invited me to their shindig, and Mike said he'll jump in front of a bullet for me. So,
yeah, he's laughing there now.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, Brad put up sunjammers.com. He just put a new site up. If you haven't checked it out. Nice user-friendly site there, putting fishing tackle on it. So they're adding stuff up, so check out his site. Chili Cook-Off and Kayak Rigging Party, if you're listening to the podcast, you're from the Virginia Beach area, Appomattox River Company, they're going to have a rigging party. And if you want to see a native mariner get rigged, go check it out. Mr. Lozier there, our one half of our Tuesday night hosting crew. I think both of them will be there, though. But he's going to be rigging up a Mariner, so that would be cool. I wish you guys would do some video and post it up so we can see how you do that. If nothing else, Mark, make sure you put up some pictures. So I'd like to see how you rig that baby up. And putting holes in a Mariner. Jim, you going fishing, or have you wore that out?
No, I got to get on a plane Saturday at 10:55 and fly to Honolulu. I got a business meeting. I got meetings with clients Monday through Friday next week in Honolulu. And then Sunday I'm going to sneak out and try to do some bone fishing. They keep telling all these lies about big bonefish, so I'm going to stick a 9-weight in the bag. And Sunday I'm going to fish, and then I'm going to try to sneak out after – the meeting's in early. I'm going to try to sneak out a few afternoons. If not, then I'll sneak out next Saturday before I get on a plane and come back.
On Facebook, you need to find Dave Elgas, E-L-G-A-S, and friend him and tell him from Kayak Fishing Radio that you're looking to meet up. He's part of that crazy crew out there in Hawaii. Those dudes go out for – he was one of the guys. They started fishing from Christmas Island, and they were catching these huge, like, 100-pound GTs, the giant trevally. They were crazy, man. But they go out and go after some big trevally and tuna in their kayaks and stuff. They're off the chain. So look for him, Dave Elgas. So,
got it. Will do.
All right, so where's Becker's music here? Here's Becker's music. This one here? That one, or that's our get into some Cuvassier there, right? here's Becker's intro here. All right, cool. Well, I'm not fishing this weekend. It's my sister's birthday, so I'm gonna go visit over there. And my wife's out of town, so it's me and the clone and the red dog. So we'll see. Y'all make sure you check out Fish of Florida Radio, fishofloridaradio.com. You can click listen to it live right on your internet radio there. And check them out Saturday morning, 6 to 9. Captain Mike Ortigo with Tackle Webs. I think that's a pretty cool idea. And check out Sun Jammers. YakAngler.com, the other site, and we'll see you next time, right? Thanks, guys, for joining me. Have fun moving there. I guess he left. So he's gone. All right. I'll see you next time, man. Next time I'll have Gangnam Style on the button for you for Monday night. So
nice.
All right.
I appreciate that. Might be my new intro.
I think so, man. I'm going to go in and change it anyway. So I'm going to rig it up so it'll say Redfish Chuck, but it's going to be Gangnam Style.
Nice.
All right. See you next time. Tight lines. Y'all take a kid fishing. Oh, and a Grinch. That's right. I got to put a Grinch button up. Next time. See ya.
Later.
Later, bud. We'll be right back.